You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. It is New Soundwave 56. Man, time flies, huh? Time flies. With me this week is Brian, Peter AKKK Bweebum, and XV, our favorite XV of all the XVs out there.
Yes.
How you guys doing?
I'm awesome.
Yes, wave to the camera for all our live viewers. Very nice, very nice. So this week on New Soundwave, we're going to talk a lot about the PlayStation and Sony, possibly the PSP phone. The PSP 2 technology has been leaked. The PlayStation phone may have been videotaped.
Wow.
In Greece. And then we're going to talk about the Xbox reward system, and arcades are going to be the topic of the day because, as we all know, or we thought we knew, arcades were still popular in Japan, but are they really? And if they die in Japan, what's left, buddy? What's left? It's going to be a sad day, sad face if arcades go away. Anyway, so on to the news. So a couple weeks back, actually further than that, several months ago, we first started hearing rumblings that Microsoft was interested in streaming television on the Xbox Live. And it turns out that now there are rumors spreading that Microsoft has met with content providers. So, you know, HBO, Showtime, maybe some others, about possibly offering streaming TV episodes, of course, for an extra dollar or two a month.
They do it already.
On Xbox Live.
There's already streaming stuff on 360.
I think this is going to be like a television channel, basically.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth.
I have ESPN3. Do I need anything else?
A couple.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that brings up a good question. I mean, is this even like relevant? Is this like a relevant idea at this point? Or have they been kind of beaten, you know, to the chase?
Well, I mean, maybe people have gone to the whole internet distribution, but how many set-top boxes are out there? I mean, what is more prevalent than the 360?
Mm-hmm.
As far as like media devices goes,
that's true.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
That's true. I mean, you know, in the chat, you know, Netflix, that kind of thing.
Netflix is great.
Hulu Plus, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So, like I teased in the earlier, the PlayStation phone. We've heard about rumblings. We've heard rumblings. We've seen possible prototypes. Now it appears, and we'll tweet this. It appears that it's been videotaped in Greece. And so, basically, just to describe it, Engadget has reported that, you know, it was sighted and now it's been videotaped. Like I said, we'll tweet about the minute-long videotape of somebody just kind of jamming on this touchscreen phone. It has distinctive PSP curves. It's kind of got the silhouette of a PSP. It's reportedly been named the Sony Ericsson Z1. It's got a 4-inch touch panel, and it runs on Gingerbread, Android 3.0.
Neat.
2.3.
So, yeah, 2.3.
Yeah, 2.3.
I've heard people call it 3.0, and I've heard people say 2.3, but it's 2.3.
It was originally 3.0, but then it turns out it's instead of it being a complete overhaul, it's iterative. And now Honeycomb is supposed to be 3.0.
Interesting. So, and here's where it gets even more interesting. So Engadget has defended its sources as, quote, most definitely real. And one Sony representative called this, like, fake, like just outright fake. And then later, the Sony Ericsson CEO said, well, there's a lot of smoke, and I'll tell you that there must be a fire somewhere. So,
yeah,
I don't know what that means, but it's certainly not a denial. So it's gonna be interesting, and it comes from the CEO, which is kind of weird. So he didn't shoot down that rumor. So it's possible that we're looking at a PlayStation phone. Again, who knows if this is going to be a success? It's cool video to look at, cool awesome spy video to look at. Staying on the Sony front. Sony looks like it's starting to patent some technology for the PSP2, specifically what they call, let's see here, quote, handheld device with two-finger touch-triggered selection and transformation of active elements. So basically, a two-finger touchscreen is what they're trying to.
That's what she said.
Patent. Yes, that's what she said. Yes, and if we take it there, then the PlayStation, the PSP2 may actually sell if we market it like that, a two-finger touchscreen device. So you know, interesting stuff. We'll see if this relates actually to the PSP 2. I'm sure within the next couple months, actually. One good thing, one interesting note is that this looks to be a screen that's about an inch bigger than current PSP screen, which I think is, it feels huge. Still feels really big to me.
They can probably make the actual hardware smaller, though, because, of course, we've had 5 years of technological advances. I mean, you look how small like a 4.3-inch phone is. I mean, it's all screen. So, I mean, the PSP, as it is, has a lot of extra hardware around it where they can sort of shrink that down, mm-hmm. which is probably the reason they're looking at having the actual pad on the back, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but they can actually make the hardware small enough now because of, you know, the transistors are smaller and closer together and everything.
You know, locked in a laboratory somewhere, Sony has got a fleet of scientists working on improving the flexible LCD screen technology to where it's useful for video gaming.
It'd be neat if you could have that as a watch with, like, the band and everything screen. You have it around your wrist, and, you know, you can play it from... I think that would be neat.
Someday.
I like.
Real quick hit here. If you're a fan of Arkham Asylum, you're not alone. If you were hoping in the sequel they were going to have vehicles, I've got bad news for you. There's going to be no vehicles in Arkham City. It's kind of a bummer, but there's always Arkham City 2, I guess. But yes, no Batmobile, no Batboat, no Batplane. So sad.
I guess it kind of makes sense, though, because instead of, you know, driving, a good driving component isn't that easy. So
that's true, and it can be almost distracting.
Exactly. There's also a logistical problem with that. You know, in your Grand Theft Autos, if you wreck your car, you can just go grab another one.
Yeah, Batman's not going to do that.
Batmobile, right. I'm not exactly sure what you would do in context of the game.
Easy. You carjack a henchman for the Joker and steal his...
But that's true.
Batmobile anymore.
And probably the big reason there's no vehicles is because they're not trying to sell toys. They're trying to sell the game.
Good point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sell being Batman.
So, yeah, there's not going to be Batman in 15 different costumes, that, you know, like Undersea Batman and Space Batman and, you know.
That would be fantastic, though.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Hey, Brian or Peter or XB, have you guys played the Brave and the Bold game?
No, I want to. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I played about 20 minutes of it. I sat down at a friend's house and actually played a little bit of it. It's fun. It's not the deepest thing. You wouldn't expect it to be. But, I mean, it looks fantastic. It plays pretty solid. It's pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good, actually, when you think about it. Because it's got no right. Like, it has no right to be good. I mean, it would be perfectly expected if it would be just, you know, like another crappy game based on a TV show or a movie.
Having not played it and only seen screenshots, it reminds me of Astro Boy for the... Game Boy Advance, the one that mm-hmm. Sega did that was mm-hmm. so great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I've never played that game, but I clearly remember like footage of it, and yeah, it's got that same kind of feel. Absolutely. Here's another story that we'll tweet, because this has a cool visual attached to it. So the Air Force is saving money, saving taxpayer money, by buying nearly 2,000 PlayStation 3s, duct taping them together, and using them basically as a supercomputer.
They better not update the OS or the firmware, because if they do that, they can't run Linux, and this will crash.
Right. Yeah, then you're going to have to check on eBay for 2,000 PlayStation 3s sold by the U.S. government.
Government has some people who can hack the firmware if they need to.
Probably.
I would hope so. But yes, so they took about 2,000, give or take, PlayStation 3, strapped them together, and they're using it as what they call the Condor cluster. Basically, you know, an extremely powerful computer. But here's the kicker. They estimate that this thing costs about $2 million to put together, which sounds like a lot, but it's only 5 to 10% the cost of an equally powerful system if it was built out of computer components. So there you go. And it only consumes 10% of the energy.
This is like that Snopes story about Saddam Hussein importing PS2s, but it's real. Yeah.
Yes, this is real. It's real because we have a photo.
Yeah.
And if they want to watch Blu-ray, they don't have to buy an extra Blu-ray.
That is true, and that screen does look pretty sweet. So
it's pretty awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The best part of this picture is 2,000 PlayStation 3s and what looks to be maybe a 50-inch plasma monitor.
Yeah,
perfect.
Just kind of sitting in front.
Perfect. I have seen these before, not PS3s racks, but just random 50-inch televisions on these racks. It's just like on that little stand, they just roll around and they use it for.
I'd love to have that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I got a crummy 32-inch TV.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Another good story.
Life in the Brian's back, all that much more.
Another good story that I think we'll tweet because we'll give the viewers time to kind of digest the story. Really interesting story that Peter found on composers finding video games as like the new medium to work in. Which is really interesting. And when you think about it, these days, modern games basically have like a movie's budget. They also have movie's expectations as far as like performance goes. So they're getting a lot of real talent as far as like music composers. And they talk a lot in this article about Epic Mickey. They kind of focus on that, which is getting kind of okay reviews.
Yeah, lukewarm.
It's getting lukewarm reviews, yeah.
But this is an interesting story. And like I said, it ties into a very topical game, Epic Mickey. And like we said, you know, the reviews on that game have basically been, you know, if it interests you, play it, and if it doesn't, you're not going to miss a lot. Also, again, I'll go back to the weird kind of aspect of Epic Mickey, where the creator has like refused to like acknowledge Kingdom Hearts like exists or ever happened. So everything he talks about when it comes to Epic Mickey, he talks about it being like the first. So it's like the first time we've taken Disney kind of like in a dark direction.
Mickey Mousecapade is plenty dark.
So I mean, it's just kind of weird, kind of odd.
Is Kingdom Hearts a dark game?
Not really.
It's not dark, I would say, but it's also
as dark as a game starring a homoerotic kid with a big key.
Oh, okay. Like whenever I think of Kingdom Hearts, I always think about you running around with a giant sword like Final Fantasy VII, and as you hack your enemies, little hearts come out. You know?
Yeah. It's
pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate. Hey, Brian, you're a proud Kinect owner.
I am a proud Kinect owner.
Yes, yes. You're not alone. Sales of Microsoft's motion sensing peripheral have surpassed 2.5 million units.
It's pretty awesome.
Queuing through the roof.
Absolutely. People are dancing their asses off.
I've heard the report that the Move has sold like 4 million units. Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I know a couple weeks ago we reported that reported their sales numbers, and even like a couple weeks ago it was like past 2 million.
Yeah, so but the interesting point that I heard someone make, if you have two people who want to play Move, you have to have two controllers. Mm-hmm. So you have to buy additional units.
Yeah,
but if you have
sold separately.
Yes, so if two people want to play Kinect, you just have one Kinect. So I don't know.
The actual numbers might be lower. The market saturation usability.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell.
Right. So 4 million units, do they mean complete set? Or do they mean just the one piece or what?
I imagine if it's Sony, they're inflating the number any way they possibly can.
So no.
Sony
would never do anything like that, XV. Are you saying that Sony is doing anything to make money and be disingenuous to their customers?
Yes.
That would never happen.
Possibly. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Possibly.
I actually got to see one of those Move units in person, and I gotta say, it looks just as stupid when you're looking at a real one as a picture.
Afraid
yeah,
so.
My friend Mike has one, and yeah, I didn't play it, but just the unit itself does look kind of silly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like bubblegum on a stick, basically.
Yeah.
Well, you can change the color of the stick part, so.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh wow. Well,
awesome.
You would have to for multiplayer, though, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry?
I don't know if it requires that for tracking. I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Wait, what did you say? Sorry?
I said you would have to have different colors for multiplayer, though.
I don't think the colors have any... I think the colors are just for shits and giggles. I don't think they mean anything.
Yeah.
Because you need
it's good.
The...
It's good design.
You need those two, those for input and things like that. But it also interfaces with the eye camera, so it uses depth perception.
Mm.
Okay,
interesting.
So it's a piecemealed version of the Kinect.
Interesting. Figure that out, people. Think about that. Just run that. Hey, did any of you guys see Inception?
No.
No, because they are
so awesome. Oh, what do you mean you haven't seen it yet?
It was
pause
a great
the podcast.
Movie.
Hold the phone. You guys got to watch it right now, and then we'll come back.
Nah. Yeah, we'll be back in 2.5 hours.
I do want to see it. I just never did.
Well, it's a great movie. It's a very Christopher Nolan movie in that it's very, I think, what is the word? It's painstaking. Yeah, it's like every frame has been like slaved over or examined, which yeah. I think is typical of his movies.
But extremely rewarding.
Yes, yes. Good watch. Anyway, the point is for this show, they're working on a video game. And basically, if you haven't seen Inception, it kind of deals with dreams and kind of seeding memories and you know, what's real and what's not. And so basically, they're going to try to make what I can only guess is an extremely expansive game based on this universe. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you, Peter. I mean, we'll see if they can actually turn a good game based on a movie this time around.
Your description sounds like The Matrix meets Johnny Got His Gun. Basically,
I mean, I guess you could say there's some Matrixy stuff about it.
In the mind, it's not very Matrixy at all in terms of like the way that the Matrix did a lot of.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as like dreams and reality, and I guess stuff like that. I mean, I guess yeah. I mean, you know, what's real and what's not. Also, Leonardo DiCaprio, which is a slight upgrade from Keanu Reeves, I'll say. Slight.
Yeah, and I think there's just a better supporting cast. I think it's
good movie.
It's just a tighter movie. I think it if you compare like all of the Matrix as a whole, like the trilogy, then it's a much tighter movie. So
yes. Oh yeah, the Matrix fell apart for me like 5 minutes into Matrix 2, whatever it was
right,
called.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Pretty clear they were like out of ideas.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I can't even imagine how they would make an Inception video game, but. If it's as painstaking as Christopher Nolan likes to make his movies, then I'm all for it. I think that'd be pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked earlier about Microsoft's charging a little bit more to possibly stream TV on the Xbox Live. Well, today they also revealed, more or less, basically the mouthpiece of Microsoft also revealed another scheme, I guess you could say, on Xbox Live. Xbox Live Rewards, where you can go and sign up for Xbox Live Rewards. And it's free to all gold-level members. And once you join, you'll be able to earn Microsoft points. It's just like money, people. Microsoft points.
It's as good as money.
Doing many of the things you're already doing on Xbox Live. So, okay, so for our Xboxers out here, let's see if this sounds good. So, and there's a chart available here. We may link to it, too, after the show. So, like, if you renew 1 month of Xbox Live Gold, you get 10 points.
Oh, my God.
And yes. Oh, here's a good one. If you take a quick survey each month, it's a quick survey, you get 20 points. And if you participate...
That's like 30 cents.
This is awesome. This is an awesome
one. This is great. This is a lot of money, you guys.
Participate in exclusive promotions. So, if you participate in promotions, you get quote cool prizes.
Wow.
We'll let you
regardless
know
regardless of a free member or a gold member.
yes free members also get cool prizes. So another one good, if you purchase select Xbox Live Marketplace content, what you get is quote berries. nice. So, right. We haven't decided yet. Could
if
be
you
a
spend $500 you get 5 points.
yes You get
if you spend $100, you get one.
Yeah, I can only hope that like Microsoft points have like Bill Gates' profile on them.
Right.
That's all I want. Like Bill Gates bucks. Anyway, so check it out. I guess.
I am wondering if
Microsoft pays its employees in.
No, Microsoft pays its employees incredibly well.
Shut up, Brian. I knew I shouldn't have said that with you on.
No, he's being serious. They're paid very well.
No, a friend of mine tripled his salary leaving one company and going to Microsoft. So
yeah, Microsoft pays the big bucks, man. They are crazy.
I have repeatedly
pay big bucks, or are they like we don't have to pay anybody anything because everybody wants to work here.
No, they pay big bucks.
No, they pay you very well. And benefits are actually great too.
Yeah, my friend keeps trying to get me. He keeps sending me jobs, and it's hard to.
Healthcare is free.
It's insane.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Microsoft runs their own health insurance
company. I didn't know that.
So they instead of having like a care like you know Independence Blue Cross or Aetna or something like that control their people, they just have the people bill them directly and then they just like pay them off.
Wow,
interesting. Yeah. Last thing before we get to the topic, Gran Turismo 5. Yes, Virginia, it did come out. And in Japan, it's already sold 430,000 copies. So not Pokemon numbers, not massive numbers, but, you know, hey.
I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't definitely doesn't make up for the 6 years of lost sales, but...
Gran Turismo for the PSP came out, and Prologue came out, so they had, you know, it's not like it was a total loss.
Wasn't Prologue free or something, though?
No, you had to pay for it.
Oh.
Ooh. That's no good.
Yeah.
Hey, staying in Japan, and this is our topic, staying in Japan, so a popular perception is that the Japanese still love their arcades, and it's probably like the one last place on Earth where you can, you know, find an arcade pretty easily. It's like the glory days. At least that's the perception. And it continues to thrive, despite the arcade scene continues to thrive in Japan, despite obviously like fading away everywhere else. But unfortunately, a recent online survey suggests that fewer Japanese people play games in arcades than you might think. So this survey was conducted last month, and it included almost 12,000 people. So pretty good sample size. People of various ages, and most of them were female, slightly, which is kind of
awesome.
Kind of interesting.
Did they sell their underwear in vending machines?
I don't know if they were asked that, but if they were, then yes, they probably sure they would have said yes. So, when asked how often they went to an arcade, 61% of these people said they didn't go, and 20% said they went about once every 6 months or less. So here's the kicker. So only 11% said they went at least once a month, which is, you know, pretty regularly. That same survey they did 2 years ago, and it was 15%.
That's a huge drop off.
You know, I mean, so it's starting to decline here a little bit. And the thing here is really that, you know, again, Japan was considered like the last bastion of arcadeness.
Still a pretty huge number, though.
It's still pretty healthy.
Japan's a small little country with a lot of people, so
it is. And the other thing about it is, you know, for a good while now, Japan's been in pretty rough financial.
Oh, their economy's in the it's been awful.
Yeah, and it's been that way for a while. Yes.
And
this story was the two biggest responses on why people didn't go to an arcade, and they were, one, it costs money, and two, it's noisy.
Wow. So Lost in Translation totally lied to me.
Yes and yes. But this brings up a good question, a good discussion. I mean, you know, the arcade days are well behind us. And I, for one, think that's kind of sad because, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know about you guys, but the arcade was like the place where everybody congregated. It was a very social place. And it was actually a place where no matter where you were, if you went to the mall, you could go find it. And if you were into gaming, you know, you could kind of hang out there for a while. It was kind of like a safe haven that you could kind of count on. And that's not around anymore. And that's kind of a shame. You know, it's kind of a shame to think that even in Japan, for whatever reason, it's, you know, it's kind of waning. You know, Brian, do you have any, were you a big arcade goer when you were growing up? I mean, were there arcades?
I had an arcade, which is now, my wife actually works at because it's now an office building. And,
sweet.
The guy who owned it was creepy. And I honestly tried not to go because I think he had a natural affection toward children.
Was it like that one episode of Different Strokes?
Yes, it was a very special arcade. But
very special episode of Kilby's childhood.
But no, I occasionally it wasn't like a regular thing for me because I didn't have a regular mode of transportation, and when I went, my dad was kind of a jerk. He would give me $5 and tell me that I had 30 minutes to go through it, and that was back in the day when every single game was 25 cents.
And it cost a quarter.
Yeah, so it took me forever to go through $5. So I would literally play one game, finish like a round of Street Fighter, run to another game while that game was going, and throw in a quarter and play some NBA Jam. and I would just have to leave that machine. It was pretty awful. But my thought with arcades in Japan, I mean, you know, of course, with new technology, the gaming experience at home gets better. Well, you know, the one thing the arcades have really had going for them, you know, that you've never really been able to capture at home, was the sort of kinetic experience of playing games that aren't necessarily, you know, you play with a joystick. It's, you know, games like skee ball and things like that that, you know, require motion, playing basketball. Well, you know, the Wii does that. You know, mm-hmm. maybe not that great, but the Wii really, you know, you can really kind of capture that whole arcadey feel that you really were never able to do before. Sure, the games suck, but, you know, there are people who love skee ball. I don't understand. I mean, I like skee ball, but I'm not going to spend $15 on it like some people I know.
No, and yeah, and there's some people who will spend like hours at the Quick Draw machine at the arcades. I don't know if you remember that. You know, it was, you know, a big like
whack-a-mole
rubber orange gun, and you know, you Quick Draw against guys on this like low def TV. But yeah. People would spend like hours there trying to shoot, you know, this guy named Mad Dog.
Yeah, Mad Dog McCree. So,
great game.
Sure. But yeah, you're right. You know, but especially with the Kinect now. I mean, that should satisfy just about anybody.
But there are no Kinects in Japan. There are hardly any 360s, so.
That's true.
No Kinects, you know, in quotes.
Yeah. I mean, these days, I guess over here on this side of the ocean, the closest thing you'll ever get to an arcade these days is at a bowling alley, I guess, you know, just if you want to call that an arcade. It's always attached to a bowling alley.
The only arcades that I ever see around that have anyone in them are the classic arcades. I was in a retro arcade in Portland, and it had lots of people in it. It didn't have a single game that was made after, say, 94. And, I mean, it had Tron. It had discs of Tron. It had Smash TV, which I loaded a couple bucks into.
Wow. Awesome.
I mean, it had, like, Versus Super Mario Brothers. It had Versus Punch-Out. I mean, just amazing stuff. And it was marketed as a retro arcade. It probably didn't hurt that it was also a bar. But it was two levels, had great pinball machines, and people went. Of course, it was a big city, and it's sort of a niche market. But, you know, like regular arcades, I never see anybody in. Like at the movie theater, there are all sorts of games in there. Nobody's ever playing them. Of course, who wants to play Time Crisis 2 now? Or who wants to play...
Four, so why would you play 2?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say who wants to play Daytona USA, but I love Daytona USA.
Oh, man, that thing
is you
got to
play that.
And I'll still play that.
Every time you go to Dave & Buster's, that place is packed.
But, I mean, it still has, like, Soul Calibur and Soul Calibur 2. I love Soul Calibur 2. I mean, I will kick your butt at Soul Calibur 2, but I've played it hundreds and hundreds of hours. I don't need to go and play it at the arcade, and nobody wants to go play Soul Calibur 2 anymore. There are no games.
That makes Brian sad.
Yeah.
I will admit that, like, I think it was at, a Little Caesars of all places. They had a Soul Edge. This was, like, a month ago. And
that's awesome.
I had to drop, like, a buck.
You have a Little Caesars?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Yeah, we have tons here. They, like, moved back in. And this one inexplicably had to have been, like, the owner's video game or something like that. Just, like, parked next to the, you know, the cooler with the Diet Mountain Dew was a Soul Edge. And so I was like, hold the crazy bread, my friend. I'm gonna play a couple.
And I'll mention something I haven't mentioned in a while. People who really love arcades, the people our age who, you know, loved arcades, they have disposable income. It's not like they're expensive. You can get a Neo Geo MVS cabinet for like $300.
That's true.
And put it in your basement.
Like if you really want NBA Jam, a cabinet for like your basement, what's that going to run you these days?
NBA Jam probably would run you $1,500 if I had to guess.
Yeah, at best. And that's like a really sweet point.
I sunk $1,300 into a MAME cabinet. I can play whatever I want to on it, including Soul Calibur 2 because I have an Xbox in it. So people who really love arcade games will do that. It's not right now. I just need to do some rewiring. It's nothing major. Of course, you know, the most panic thing that I think I've ever done is when I tried to wire the power supply to the monitor. I really expected to die in the process of that. And I was really amazed when I flipped the switch and it came on. Because I had no idea how that thing worked. But I just sort of sat down and figured out how it had to work. And sure enough, it did.
No one tricked these funny like that.
Yeah, I know.
I like that you expected to die. Did you expect to die like before you started?
I kind of did. No, that happens sometimes. I'll just say, well, I may die. I've lived a good life. I felt really smart when I got that to work. I'll be honest. I sort of gloated on that for a couple days.
We're proud of you.
Thank you.
Actually, that reminds me. Okay, so I went and visited my hometown for Thanksgiving. And they have an arcade there, a little arcade in the mall. But it's very clear this arcade's going out of business, which is sad because all the games have like a price tag on them.
I hate seeing that.
Yeah, which is sad. But it was interesting that basically across the board, I guess there was about $400 a piece.
So yeah, they're cheap. They're cheap.
Yeah, except, and this clearly showed that somebody there knew what they were doing, except for the Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Cabinet, which was $1,500.
So
they had some idea of what they were doing, but still sad. You know, RIP Wichita Falls Arcade. So
one thing also that goes for quite a bit, believe it or not, is the Pac-Man 2 Galaga cabinet. It's really common, it's really easy to get a hold of, but it goes for a premium.
It's a total nostalgia thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
The Class of 82 set.
Yeah.
God, Class of 82, it's almost 30 years old. God.
Yeah, well, most of us are almost 30, or a little bit over, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Good talk, guys. Hey, Brian, you're going to have to like let us know when the cabinet's up and running.
I just need some time off. Working 80-hour weeks just makes it hard to do anything.
I would imagine.
I feel you, buddy. So, anyway, that does it for New Soundwave this week. Everybody, hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Next week, we will have more news, rumors, and good stuff. And then we'll also continue the buying guide because time is running short. And there's plenty of good video game options and lots of Cyber Monday and online deals that I'll dig through. And I'll try to bring you the best next week as time ticks down. So for the crew, for Brian, for Peter, for XV, our favorite XV, I'm John DeLuna. We will see you next week.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilbert, XV, Lady Rick, Gweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.